Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Vocalist and composer Meredith Monk has always been interested in the voice as an instrument rather than as a delivery system for words. Over more than four decades of work, she's developed ways of working with the voice that make it sound not like one instrument, but many. In her music, you usually don't need words to tell a story or evoke an emotion. Her works, which often include film, dance, or other media, can have a strong narrative to them. Take, for example, her newest album, On Behalf of Nature. Now, you can probably guess what that's about, but we'll ask Meredith to talk a bit about it anyway. First, though, she and her intrepid vocal ensemble are here in the Soundcheck studio to play live. Here's Meredith Monk and vocal ensemble with a piece called Dark Light Number 1.
Thank you.
That is Meredith Monk and the vocal ensemble live here in the Soundcheck studio, and a piece called Dark Light Number 1. Performing here with us, Meredith Monk on vocals, of course, Katie Geisinger vocals, Bruce Rameker on vocals as well, Allison Sniffen doing some vocals, playing the keyboard, and towards the end, violin, handing the keyboard part over to John Hollenbeck, who prior to that was playing the marimba and the prepared vibraphone. And the piece began with the sound of Bodan Hilash playing a small bamboo whistle and then moving to the enormous contrabass clarinet. Boy, Meredith, you had like one of everything in that piece. First of all, great to see you again.
Thank you so much. Love being here.
So Dark Light 1 is from this album called On Behalf of Nature. And, you know, so many people have talked about the voice as an instrument in your career, mm-hmm. which sounds like a very abstract thing, but in fact, you're able to get to things that are really kind of emotional in a very sort of direct and concrete mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. without using words. Mm-hmm.
I think the voice is a very deep, eloquent language, that it's a language in itself. So I've stayed away from using words because they're very pointy. What I think is beautiful about the voice is it allows you to have your own imagination. And it also has allowed us to go all over the world. There's no filter of language that comes between the music and the person that's listening to it. That's not to say that I don't have incredible respect for people that set words, and I know the depth of what you can really say with words, but I've stayed more with thinking about the voice as a very ancient instrument, and that it's almost as if you listen to language from far away. Yeah. You're not sure what it is, but you definitely have these shades of feeling.
You know, it's interesting because like an album like Mercy, mm-hmm. which you did a few years
yes.
back, has a very plaintive and very clear theme mm-hmm. to it. And this album as well, this project on mm-hmm. behalf of nature, mm-hmm. you know, you're evoking all of these landscapes mm-hmm. in a lot of these
yes.
pieces. What was the specific inspiration? I mean, climate change and worries about the ecology and environment, they've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. Why this project now?
Well, I read a beautiful article by Gary Snyder, who was in the Beat Poetry group, although I'm sure nobody wants to be called in a group. But, you know, he still does beautiful poetry. He was a very early environmental activist. He's a Zen Buddhist practitioner. And very.
Do you know the Turtle Island String Quartet?
Yes.
They named themselves after.
After his.
Right.
Yeah. He's an extraordinary being. He's still very much alive. So
yeah.
I was reading an amazing article that he wrote called Writers and the War Against Nature. And he talks about the ancient shamanic tradition that really was two branches. One was telling the truth in the society, so they were probably spokespeople mm-hmm. of what was going on. And then the other part of it was embodying or having respect for beings that did not have their own voices, like mm. evoking or embodying other beings that couldn't speak for themselves. And he said through song and dance, that, you know, that's the ancient tradition. So I read that and I was like, wow, you know, this is really
something that resonated with you.
It really resonated with me. And I think it's very hard now to figure out how do we speak about these things. So once I took this on and called it On Behalf of Nature, there were a lot of times where I'd come to rehearsal and say, why did I take this on? But then I realized, well, I took on Mercy and Impermanence, so I guess I should try to work with this. But how do you do it where you're not telling people what to do or very, you know, keep your plastic bags or, you know, that kind
right.
of idea.
Right.
And because I don't use words very often in my work, you know, how do you, does it say enough, you know, that people have a level of consciousness change? Maybe that's a possibility. So what I realized, well, the music says it all, really, you know, and it's more when you get the sense of the richness of all the realms of our life and our planet, you mm-hmm. start, really appreciating them in a different way, and that I could make a piece that would make people have their own imagination, but also that sense of elegy of what we are in danger of losing.
Yeah.
So that was what I did.
Well, you know, the idea of the shamanic tradition, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that you've worked with that on occasion over.
Or it's worked with me.
Yeah.
I would say that. It's worked with me.
You know, you have at various times in various projects given us little portraits of mad women, of, mm-hmm. they're mostly women, who rant and rave.
Or visionaries.
See visions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these are the people who are viewed by some as the seers and prophets mm-hmm. and by others as the dangerous crackpots.
Exactly.
And this piece, On Behalf of Nature, has one of those women in mm-hmm. it. Tell us about...
We will get to that later. I think it's going to be our last piece that we'll perform. That's called
right.
Water Sky Rant. And I think I was just trying to also get that sense of outrage, you know, but also incredible sadness that we all feel, where we feel so helpless that we don't know what to do to contribute to make it better. And you know, and I also feel that what's really important to say now is that we just can't lose hope now.
Well, and that's important to say because, you know, you were mentioning just a moment ago this kind of elegiac quality. And
mm-hmm.
very often a very effective elegy will just make you think, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
Game over.
Well, the end of the piece.
But that's not the...
No, I think my work is always, you know, if there's a theme, you know, I always think each artist has one story that they tell over and over again in different ways. I think my story is always that life goes on.
Well, now, you have done so much work with the voice as instrument, but one of the interesting things, especially in recent years, has been watching you treat instruments like voices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you still refer to it as Meredith Monk and vocal ensemble, mm-hmm. but there's all these winds and percussion and keyboards and all kinds
of
stuff.
They sing. I mean, you know, those instruments sing.
Yeah.
I think it started when I did my first orchestra commission in the beginning of the 2000s for Michael Tilson Thomas and New World Symphony.
To the point that there are even instrumental pieces within
yes.
On Behalf of Nature.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear one of them now.
Okay.
This one is called Eon.
I think of it just as time passing, long periods of time passing. And in the live musical theater piece, all that's happening is one person is slowly rolling across the diagonal of a space. So it's just like centuries and multi-centuries are just passing by. And again, to get a perspective. So I was really trying for very small and very big and on behalf mm-hmm. of nature.
All right. We heard one duality with dark and light in the first piece. Now, you know, this kind of playing with time as well, which has long been a feature of Meredith Monk's music. Her latest album is called On Behalf of Nature. Here is a live performance of the excerpt called Eon.
Thank you.
That is called Eon. Live music from Meredith Monk and her vocal ensemble here in our studio. That's a track from her music theater piece called On Behalf of Nature, her most recent recording. You heard Allison Sniffen on keyboards, Bodan Hilash playing various members, possibly even all of the members of the clarinet family, and John Hollenbeck on percussion, on vibraphone. He took the seashells off of the vibraphone.
So and that, putting it, them it back on now.
Didn't buzz that time. So, Meredith, these are, you know, these musicians, the singers, Katie and Bruce, who are here with you. I mean, these people have been with you for a long time, and that throughout your career, that has been the case, that the members of your ensemble, they come in and they tend to stay with you for a long time. There's a real kind of communal aspect to this music making,
yes,
isn't there?
Definitely. And, so, you know, we have a language of working. It's almost like having a shorthand. And, I mean, each piece is totally different, but it's real. You know, I usually work alone for quite a while, and I, you know, make material. I sometimes put my voice on multi-tracks, you know, just to get the feeling of what these parts are going to be in. But once I bring it into rehearsal, then it can change in many, many ways, and it can, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities. I think the saddest thing for me is when I have to put it into a final form. It makes me very sad because it has all those possibilities up to that point, and then once you set that, you set it, you know, that's what it's going to be. That's only what it's going to be.
Well, you know, but it's a funny thing because sort of questions about notation and when is a piece finished. Mm-hmm. Those are open questions with you because you need that shorthand with these musicians. A lot of the techniques, a lot of the sound world that you inhabit is not easily notated.
Yes. I mean, that's the way I prefer to work. Sometimes Allison, who's we call her score girl, sometimes she scores it out just that we can sort of see what it is, and also it's a good mnemonic device, you know, to remember things.
Right.
But I prefer to work with that. I prefer to work much more organically and to really let these forms come from the inside out, you know, and really craft them in rehearsal. It's like sculpting.
And then eventually a lot of these pieces become more than just concert works. They are works of musical
theater.
And
that takes a long time. You know, usually that will take a few years to make something like that. But then the ironic thing is that when we make albums, then I compress them into much shorter and richer forms, actually, because I want the audience to be able to have a full experience just by hearing it.
Right. So with On Behalf of Nature, what does this piece look like in its kind of full theatrical form?
Very simple. You know, one of my ideas when I was working on it is, how does one make an ecological piece of art? And, you know, so we don't buy expensive costumes. What we did was we brought our old clothes in, and then our designer, Yoshio Yabara, made these new creations, you know, with our old clothes, and made each of us a kind of sculptural costume that changes color during the whole piece, you know, so very distinctive. But, for example, if Katie brought in all her clothes in blues and grays, her life story is also in those costumes, so it has this very poignant quality of our lives being within the costumes. And then musically, what I did was I allowed myself to go back. I had a lot of new material, but I allowed myself to go back to my old music notebooks, because I have a kind of journal notebooks where I'll have phrases or, you know, maybe part of a form. So I went back to the 90s and started playing through those notebooks, and then there was a phrase, oh, this feels very much like On Behalf of Nature, and I can develop it. So I was ready to develop it now, whereas I wasn't at that time. Mm-hmm. So again, it's this idea that when you recycle back to the past and then renew it, it becomes something else, and you're using something that's already there in a very ecological way. You're not wasting anything.
Yeah, and cycling is also something you've done a lot of with your pieces. There's a lot of recycling of musical material.
Yes.
Very often the works have a kind of narrative arc to them, an arch kind of structure.
Yeah.
And if On Behalf of Nature is an arch, would the Sky Water Rant, would that be the capstone,
it's
the keystone?
It's kind of in the middle of the piece, yeah. It's sort of the first part is, you could say it's sort of the water section. Second part is more earth, and that's the end of the earth section. And then the last one is more sky or air. So, I don't know if you'd call it the capstone, but it's the really earthy one human being talking to the world.
Right. And we spoke a little bit about this earlier, that, you know, this is these rants, these kind of ravings.
Well, I've never done a rant before. So, yeah. You know, I was thinking, can I do that? I've always been very excited when women use their anger in a very positive way. Like, I remember the first time I heard Patti Smith in the 70s. I was this is great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I've done exactly like this before. It's a little
but,
different.
No, but the kind of the seer.
Because I do think artists are kind of, you know, they're the antennae of society. And then it depends on how much they want to speak about that. And I also think there are some artists that really reflect their time. And then there are other artists that are trying more for a timeless aspect. And I think I'm trying more for a timeless aspect. But there are some that really, really are the spokesperson of a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way I see is that these things seem to recur. Like if you're doing a piece about war, these same things recur over and over again.
Yeah. So. Well, shall we hear this? Shall we hear this little
rant? I will give it my best.
Meredith Monk and Vocal Ensemble are here with us in the studio. The CD is called On Behalf of Nature, and this is one of the centerpieces of both the CD and the music theater piece. Listed on the record as Water Sky Rant, although, as Meredith just told us, quite a bit of earth in this piece as well. Let's hear a live performance.
Nangana, nangana. Nangana, no. Nangana, nangana, oh. Nangana. Lord, 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 Lord,
no gole sin. Ngore sole nengen is zanga ngenen ingin ino de no zono nele. No nele xana ingin dinese. Naga, 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 non, non, naga, zene, inene, zene, ngongale, nexe. No, na, no, no, na, no. Nangana, nangana, oh, nangana, oh, no. Nangana, nangana, oh, nangana, oh, no. Hitna, 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 hitna. No.
That is Meredith Monk singing her Water Sky Rant from her most recent album called On Behalf of Nature and getting help from the rest of the ensemble. Katie Geisinger and Bruce Remaker whistling, Allison Sniffen on keyboards, French horn, a bit of whistling as well. Bodan Hilash once again on various winds, John Hollenbeck playing the vibraphone, bowing it, striking it, the seashells giving it the buzzy effect, and then you and John had a little duet with the cuíca,
yes.
Voice cuíca.
Yes.
Which
I
is
want to do even a longer duet with John with cuíca. We just got started with the cuíca, right, John?
Yeah.
We could really go for it.
It's a string drum. Most people will know it from the end of the Paul Simon song, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard.
Oh, beautiful album and a beautiful song.
Yeah. But
and you hear it so much on, you know, it's Brazilian, and
right.
You hear it beautifully used. And this was a low one, so, you know, sometimes
yeah,
the cuíca, they have
yeah.
the high cuíca, but I preferred to get the, I guess this would be called an alto cuíca, right?
Or a tenor cuíca.
Yeah, it's a nice low one. So,
yeah.
yeah,
it sounded great, yeah.
Thank you.
And it, you know, it sort of plays with your expectation. All right, where's the vocal? Which is the vocal?
Yes, that's what I love about
the cuíca. Who's the human
it's
here?
It's so vocal. Isn't it an amazing instrument?
And whistling, which all of us can do, turns out to have a really kind of eerie sound by the end of the
mm-hmm.
piece. I mean, this, you know, we were talking about before about how you can get the message across without words. There's a pretty, there's a sense of impending something.
And loss, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of a cautionary feel to that.
Definitely.
So,
you know, it was sort of more, again, not trying to point my finger, but it was more the one part in the piece where it's really like, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that she was saying, this woman, whoever she may be, was saying, just wake up, wake up.
Yeah.
It's happening. You know, we have to try to do something about it. So
right.
that was maybe the only place in the piece where it really had more that direct message.
Right.
Just not fall asleep about it.
Mm-hmm. Although direct in a relative...
In a relatively indirect way.
Yeah. So, have you found, you know, when Steve Reich talks about the current generation of musicians, he marvels at the fact that there are now kids graduating from school who can play his music as if to the manner born, when you know, when he was writing it, he had to, like, do what you did, assemble a group of like-minded musicians, and only they could really perform the music. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that there are now singers who are coming out of school and they have what they need to perform Meredith Monk music?
I think there's that potential, but and we have this group called the M6 of young singers that are working over the years to also try to get the sensibility, because I don't think it's only, you know, what chops you have, but it's also the way that we think about things. Because the thing that's was very fundamental for me is that each voice should be very distinctive. And it's funny, the training doesn't quite do that. Everybody can kind of do everything, but it's not very particular. So I love that each person is a character in this ensemble, and, you know, very much their voice is very much their own. I think that I'd love to pass this music on in that way, you know, and know that young people can do it. And I think it's just a matter of taking the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meredith Monk has been with us with her vocal ensemble, and the most recent CD is called On Behalf of Nature. It is out now. And Meredith, it goes without saying, the band always sounds great, but it was so great to have them all here with us this afternoon.
I'm so thrilled.
Thank
you
so much.
You can hear the whole gang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing for the holidays, too.
Thank
it's kind
you,
of an
John.
Extended family.
Thank you.
Meredith Monk, my guest. This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us. Thank you.